Making Small Talk with Jesus, Chapter 6, Lexi's Gone Bye-Bye.
Making small talk with Jesus, help me lighten my load.
Back in the day, in the summertime, JT worked at Jesse Sr.'s, his grandfather's ranch, about 30 miles south of town near the border. He would spend weekends there getting ready for junior rodeo season. So when I got home after my shift on Friday night, I expected to be alone with Lexi. I was hoping for a chance to talk with her about things and see if I could make her laugh. But it wasn't meant to be. When I arrived, she was curled up on the couch. She'd been crying, and Darlene was sitting next to her. Howdy, Darlene. Hey, Lexi, darling. It's good to see you, Jesse, Darlene said with a genuine smile. She was good people, but I was conscious of her being nervous because she kept looking back at Lexi, then to me, to see who was going to open the conversation. Finally, she decided it was up to her. Lexi and I have been talking, and she feels she needs to move out for a while. Ain't that right, Lexi? Lexi nodded and then started crying again, buried her head in the couch. This gave Darlene a chance to signal me that we should leave the room, so we went into the kitchen and stood around the table. Why does she want to leave? Hell, she ain't been home from the hospital but a month. I'm sure it ain't taken hold yet. And what do I tell JT? She wants him to move in with her at Miss Vivian's. I'm sorry, Jesse. I tried talking her out of it, but she says if she loves you, she'll come back. Right now, everything here reminds her too much of what happened. I told her we should move. I'll go anywhere she wants. She knows that. But she just don't know if she wants to go with you, honey. That's where she's stuck at. I sat down and put my head in my hands. You know what I wish, Darlene? What's that, Jesse? I wish the three of us were out right now getting drunk, partying till 4, then having breakfast at your house, the music up loud, and the biscuits soaked in syrup and chicken wings burning hot. Lexi and me dancing off in a corner, lovers again. I looked up at Darlene. All right. I'm not going to stand in her way of coming back out on the other side of this. I got up and hugged Darlene. I appreciate you being here. Tell Lexi I'll try hard not to call and that I'll be praying to hear from her real soon. I walked out, got in my truck and drove off. I went about a quarter mile, pulled off the road, and then I walked back and hid in the tall grass from across the house. About a half hour later, Lexi and Darlene came with two suitcases and put them in the back of Darlene's Jeep, then drove off. I walked out of the lanky grass and watched the red taillights until they crested over a dip in the road. Then I turned and saw a black Pontiac Firebird roaring up the road and watched it swerve wildly into my driveway, screeching to a stop. A man wearing a black Stetson jumped out of the car and ran to the front door and began banging on the front door, shouting, Lexi, Lexi, you in there? The man stood a few steps back and looked at the house and realized no lights were on. He kicked the stones in the driveway, then hurried to his car. He gunned the engine and backed out at high speed, nearly running me over as I had to leap to safety. From my knees, I stared in wonder as the car recklessly disappeared down the road. My heart was pounding in my ears. I drove to Miss Vivian's house and knocked on the door. She hollered from inside it was open, so I hurried into the living room. She was on the couch watching TV. Where's Lexi? She grabbed her walker that was tucked between the sofa and the TV tray and pulled herself up. I ain't seen her, but that look on your face tells me that I will be shortly. What's going on, Jesse? Miss Vivian, I truly don't know, but I would greatly appreciate it if you have her call me when she shows up. I will, Jesse, but I have to tell you, I'm disappointed in you, son. I thought you was the one to tame that girl. Then she turned, shaking her head sadly, and slowly walked off, leaving her walker behind. Then I raced cross town to Darlene's, but her Jeep wasn't there either. I went by the juke and the diner, but nobody seen either one of them. I needed to calm down, so I bought a bottle of hooch and cruised the streets and alleys all night in search of that black Firebird. I started calling Lexi early the next day. I was worried to death and I plain missed her. Sure, I was angry, with her for leaving, for not talking to me one-on-one, like we would say we would always do. Yes, sir, I wanted some answers, but I just wanted to be around her, touch her hair, and hell, I guess listen to her try to sing like Billie Holiday again. Miss Vivian gave me the same pat answers every time I called. She ain't home. She's resting now. I'll have her call you back, Jesse. All lies. I knew things really weren't getting any better when she didn't come to the annual family picnic on 4th of July. For years, we held it at the state fairgrounds because Jesse Sr. or JT or both of them would be competing in the rodeo events. For Lexi to miss her son ride, not there to cheer him on, was unthinkable. Needless to say, it was a major disappointment for JT. But I should have seen it for what it really was, a warning sign. Instead, I got bitter. I started smoking again and drinking hard. I tried to squeeze her out of my heart. I started going out with other women. Well, I gave it a try, but it just didn't feel right. I embarrassed myself, drunk as hell one night. I went cross town looking for Darlene. I found her in some rusty club and talked her into my truck and tried to put my hands on her. But she sobered me up real quick with a punch in the nose and some cutting remarks I don't care to remember, let alone repeat. I started crying. She yelled at me, demanding that I man up. Then she gave me a lacy hanky to help stop the bleeding. She rubbed my shoulder sympathetic-like, then left me in the truck to think things over. I was ashamed of being ashamed. I was truly horrified that I might have failed to keep the one thing in my life I cherished most. I was petrified of the possibility that Lexi might not love me anymore. I was afraid to face it, and that's the last truth. I drove home with the bloody lacy hanky stuck up one nostril. I turned on the radio to take my mind off the whole ordeal, but every damn song was about drinking and cheating and losing love, and I saw myself as the star offender in each tune. Where was I gonna get the strength to do a 4-hour radio show tomorrow? I looked in the rear view and my nose was turning blue. Lord have mercy.
Making Small Talk with Jesus, a country ballad, is produced by Quincy McCoy and Laura Privis. Editing and sound design by Robert Hollywood Rhodes for RJR Productions. Theme music by Beth Custer. This novella was written and read by the author, Quincy McCoy.